God is so awesome, isn't he? Hallelujah. Do you know that the Bible actually says to rejoice in the Lord always and then again? Paul says, rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I can tell you that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And the reason so many people are weak today is because they lack the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. And the joy of the Lord is not just something you say you have or you talk about having. It's something you demonstrate that you have. And it comes out in everything you do. It's a part of your identity in Christ. And so I implore you to seek out the Lord till you receive the fullness of joy. You must have joy. It is part of the attributes of Christ. It is the very thing that you need to have in your life behind love. Hallelujah. The next thing is joy. Hallelujah. Praise God. And joy leads to hallelujah. Praise God. So think about that now. Hallelujah. The next time you're going through challenges, difficulties, when you're looking at the news and all of the things that are happening in the world around us, think about that process. Love leads to joy, which leads to peace. Hallelujah. And then all of the other attributes come behind that. And so as we grow and increase in the love of God, the genuine agape love of God, not just the mouthed or proclaimed love, but that which is experienced so that it begins to overflow in you, you will become filled with joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control. All of these things are the attributes of God. And how awesome is it when the Spirit of the Lord is at work in the midst of us? I love what Bridget was saying, and you know, it's so awesome. I was thinking as she was talking about how the Word of God says where two or three are gathered together, what? He is in the midst of us. Hallelujah. And how awesome is that? And that's why we seize these opportunities, we latch hold to these moments where we can gather together because there's power in that. Hallelujah. There's no power in being isolated. There's power in the coming together. And it's in the coming together that you have powerful experiences. And God is doing something powerful in the last days. And as evil increases, the gathering together becomes all the more important while simultaneously becoming all the more difficult to do, to accomplish. But those who persevere in the Lord will be able to have the dynamis experiences of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Anyway, that has nothing to do with the sermon today, but you know, I was really sensing the Holy Spirit pressing me to share a little bit about that today, and it's just awesome. Hallelujah. How good God is. And as usual, it's so wonderful to see you all. Hallelujah. And you know, God is doing some really amazing things, and it's very, very interesting what God is doing. And you know, we have our church meeting coming up this Friday, and that is going to be, you won't want to miss that. All right. So anyway, hallelujah. So glory to God. we are talking about this month, Come Sit Down. And, you know, we've really prayed about this. We fasted and prayed, and the Lord gave us this whole vision for 2021 back in October. And we have been really seeing God just open the way, the path for us to walk on as we are moving forward into this year. And it's challenging yet exciting at the same time. And so to start out this month, we have been talking about come sit down. The whole concept of coming and sitting down. And, you know, as we were talking about this and praying our way through this, you know, it just seemed to flow so beautifully. And then as I got into December and I started praying about January and where God was taking us, it was so much more challenging to know which path that God was taking us. But God opens the way, and he's so faithful. And so we have been talking about this concept of sitting down. And so sitting down is important because what we see in Scripture, and we began talking about how Jesus, as a young man, was found by his parents sitting in the temple, both listening and asking questions of the leaders and the rulers in the temple. And that process is a process that we see throughout Scripture that is required of a disciple. It is the picture of discipleship. It was an honor to be a disciple. It was an honor to have someone speak into your life, to have someone share their life experiences, to share their testimonies and all that they knew and understood regarding the things of life. It was an honor to be able to walk through life with someone who would be your rabbi, your teacher, your overseer. It was an honor to have someone who would be willing to take you on as an apprentice or as someone who they would minister to. And that is why the call of the disciples that Jesus placed upon their lives was so powerfully important. And that principle is still the same today. God is looking for people to speak into, to breathe life into, to enable so that the kingdom of God can be demonstrated in the world around us. And it all begins with coming and sitting down. Coming and sitting down. And so for the next 2 weeks, we're going to be finalizing this concept so that we can understand the importance of come and then sitting down. First, come and then sitting down. And so I would like to use as a theme verse today, Matthew 14:19. And it's regarding this historical account of the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And it says here in verse 19 of Matthew 14, ordering the people to sit down on the grass, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up toward heaven, he blessed the food, and breaking the loaves, he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. Hallelujah. And so this paints a picture of the experience of the believer, those who are called of God, those who God has chosen to live this life for such a time as this, during this generation, this season of world history, so that the kingdom of God can be ministered or brought forth to every generation of human history. And you and I are called to this generation. You and I are called to be the disciples of God. And so as we look at this concept of coming and sitting down, I would like to use as a theme today, stand to sit to stand. Hallelujah. Stand to sit to stand. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we ask, oh God, that you would be lifted up and exalted in our lives. We ask that you would be glorified. Use us in this lost generation, in this season of world history where the things of God are fading away, and that you would enable us to make a stand in the ways of God, for the truth of God, as those who are a part of the kingdom of God. And we ask God that you would enable us to come and sit and learn and receive of all that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. Glory to God. There is something that is just awesome about being in the presence of God. You know, when I was a young boy, you know, I used to dread having to sit in church. And I would be thinking, oh man, this is so oppressive, so just terrible, sitting in church. Now, granted, I could sit in a movie for 2 hours. In fact, the longer the movie, the better it was. I felt I was getting my money's worth and I was enjoying a great experience. But when it came to going to church, the spirit was of a different spirit than the spirit that I was operating as a young man. Therefore, I did not want or didn't feel comfortable sitting in church. And that is why it's always about the spirit of a person that determines what they are able to endure and overcome, what atmospheres they are feeling accepted or comfortable in. And when you are of a right spirit, when you're of the spirit of God or the spirit of Christ, you are able to abide in him. Hallelujah. Abiding means it's endless. You can be in the presence of God for an endless amount of time. It is the picture of eternity with God dwelling within you. And we're living in a day and age where people, they can't take being in the presence of God for very long. They're conscious of time. They're conscious of how long it's been, because the mentality is different than what God is calling us to be. It is a world mentality and not a kingdom mentality. And there is a difference between the two. And so we, as the people of God, are being transformed. We're being molded and shaped from the mindset or the mentality of the world to a kingdom mindset, a kingdom mentality. And that requires us to be changed, to be transformed. Our perspectives, our ways, everything about us has to change. If you're modeling your life or patterning your life and your ways after the people of this world, then you will find yourself in a place of grave difficulty when it comes to the principles of the kingdom of God, because they are opposite. And so the things that we would be able to endure in the world for any amount of longevity or time would actually work against you when it comes to abiding in the presence of God for the sake of the kingdom of God. And so we have to learn how to change our way of thinking to one that aligns with the Word of God. And this is what the Word of God does. It renews our mind. This is why most Christians do not abide in the Word of God. They don't abide in worship, in the presence of God. They have no sense of establishing a presence where the anointing of the Spirit of God is consistently flowing and working in their lives. But yet, this is a picture of what the kingdom of God is like. And so our goal as the people of God is to be able to walk in the Spirit, which means we are now emitting a presence that is bringing down strongholds, that is binding the work of Satan and the lifting of oppression, and every hindering spirit is being dispelled and displaced because we are walking in his glory. We are walking in the overflow of the Spirit of God's presence. And it is the anointing of God that is stirring and working in us that enables us to break through demonic strongholds and atmospheres. And that means when they are strongly raised up against us through an angry spirit or some hostile spirit, we have the opportunity and the ability, as we abide in Christ, as we walk in his divine presence, to dispel the darkness. And the more of that presence that dwells in you increases, the more you will have the power to dispel greater elements and aspects of darkness that would come against you. And this is why it's so important to come, to sit, to stand. Because that is the very process or thing that God is showing us in his word, that Jesus has demonstrated with his own life. And so we see in Nehemiah this concept. And before we go into John, I want to look at this verse. It says in Nehemiah 3:9-3, it says, "While they stood in their place, they read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for a fourth of the day." Think about that now. They stood. Hello. They stood in their place. They read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for a fourth of the day. That means if a day is 12 hours, let's say, they were standing for a fourth of that. That would be three, right? Three. Whew. Three. 3 hours. 3 hours. Now, could you imagine if you were in a service that was the whole day, for a fourth of that time you were standing, 3 hours. We can't even get people in today's culture to come and even be in the church for 3 hours at all, much less stand for 3 hours. But again, you will have the experiences of those who had a walk with God in this manner, and then you will have today's culture and today's society and experiences with God. Immediately, you see the difference. The next mindset that was required was the one that it says, for another fourth. Now we're at the second half, or up to the half of the day. It says, they confessed and worship the Lord their God. Hallelujah. That means they're confessing their faults. They're confessing their sins. They confessed all of the things that were going on in their hearts, in their minds, in their life that was contrary to the ways of God. And they worship God. And I would submit that confession leads to worship. And the more you confess, the more you can get out or get off or get away from you the sins of your own life, the more you will be free to worship. Hallelujah. And so you will be able to spend another 3 hours worshiping, not just standing, but now you're experiencing God. Now you are getting, it is sin that binds. It is sin that oppresses and holds us down. It is sin that keeps people from worshiping God. The reason people can't lift up holy hands is because of sin. The reason they cannot sing songs unto God and worship freely, it's because of sin. They can't praise him with the dance. They can't praise him with the sounding of the instruments. They can't praise him with all of the tools and resources that God says we ought to use because of sin. And if you confess your sins, if you confess your faults, you are releasing them from yourself. And God says, if you confess your sins, that he is faithful and just to do what? To forgive us of our sins. That means to take them off of you, to free you from the effects of sin. It's the effect of sin that becomes the problem. People enjoy the practice of sin, but then the results or the effects of the sin that they commit is one that they don't want to have to deal with. It's the thing that oppresses. It's the thing that binds. It's the thing that hinders us. And so when we sin, we come under the weight of bondage and oppression. And God says, if you confess it, that you will be liberated from it. And you will then be free to worship the Lord your God. So understanding this principle of God, we see this similar type thing experienced in the life of Jesus. And so here in John 6:3-15 is the story of the five loaves and the two fish. And so Jesus goes up on the mountain, and there he sits down with his disciples. Now, immediately, this is painting a picture. He's going up to a mountain, a high place. He is going and he is sitting down there with his disciples, those who are being trained and whose lives are being ministered to or spoken into by Jesus, right? And so here they are, and this there is an experience that is taking place. As you walk with Jesus, you will have experiences that are designed to disciple you, to train you, to teach you, so that life becomes a learning experience. So that even when you make mistakes, you're able to learn and grow from them. And so you're confessing them so that you can get free of the consequences of those sins so that you can worship the Lord your God. And so he goes on here and he says, now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. And therefore Jesus, lifting up his eyes and seeing that a large crowd was coming to him. Here they come. They're coming. And he says to Philip, where are we to buy bread so that these may eat? Hallelujah. And so the question now becomes, as people are coming, how are we going to feed all of these people? That tells you that the idea, right off the bat, Jesus hadn't even done anything other than go up to the mountain and sit down. And he sees people coming and he says, how are we going to feed them all? Hallelujah. Sometimes that's a good thought to have. You know, I always appreciate people who, when they see you coming, they think, how are we going to feed these people? There is a blessing in that mindset, because it says that you are not thinking about yourself, you're thinking about the opportunity to be a witness and a blessing. Some people might think, how are we going to afford to feed all these people? But Jesus said, he asked the question, where are we to buy bread so that these may eat? And this is particularly interesting because Jesus is the bread of life. He is the bread or the word of life. And he is the very food that they have come to receive of. So it says this, he was saying to test him, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. This teaches us something else, and I'm not going to go through all of this. I'm just going to pull out some points because we're going to be dealing with this very story over the next few weeks. And so Jesus is now testing to see what it is that these guys are going to say. And so Philip answers him, and he says, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive even a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, says to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are these for so many people? The only one who brought a picnic lunch was the little boy, and it was probably his mother who said, you're going to follow Jesus? That's going to take you all day. You're going to get hungry. You better take a snack, right? You better take a little something to eat. And I would submit to you that following Jesus is going to require your whole day. It's going to require your whole life. It's going to require everything you have and everything you are to follow Jesus. It's going to take complete surrender and sacrifice. And the only way you will be able to have a genuinely good life experience in Christ is if you learn how to confess your sins. And when you learn how to confess your sins, you are then enabled in the worship, which is what enables the Spirit and the presence of God to be released in your life. And so verse 9 says, and so there is a lad here who has 5 loaves and 2 fish. But what is this to so many people? And so verse 10 says, if you could help me out there, brother, it says, that would be the next slide. Thank you. It says, Jesus said, have the people sit down. Now, there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And so 5,000 are here at this crowd. Jesus is looking at feeding 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And so as he's trying to deal with this situation, and this is not working, so I need you to stay with me here, that it says that if the people were to come and sit down, then something can happen. When everyone is on the same page, when everyone is in one accord, we are able to see the work of God take place. And so Jesus then takes the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributes them to those who were seated, and likewise also of the fish as much as they wanted. Think about this now. Who of the 5,000 that were there received of the fish and the loaves? It is very clear that it says those that were seated. Those that were seated. Hallelujah. And I think I'm ahead somehow. And so God has called us to be able to sit down so that we can be fed, so that we can experience the blessings of God. And as we are working our way through life, opportunities come our way to sit down so that we can receive. Jesus has called us to be among the crowd who is willing and able to sit down. He says, likewise also the fish. And so we know bread represents the word of God. And that is the very thing that we need in order to live and to carry out the will of God. And the fish represents the working of God. It worked the manifestations of God, or the ways of God, and able to accomplish the will of God. And so it is the word that transforms us, and it is the fish or the meat that enables us. And so we are able to do the will of God as we receive of the things of God. In verse 12, it says, when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the leftover fragments so that nothing will be lost. Notice it says, gather up the fragments so that nothing will be lost. Let's get all of the leftovers. Let's get all of the things that are left over, and let us return them back from whence they came. So the leftovers came back. And think about this, because a little boy gave up his lunch and he sacrificed everything, and he received in return the leftover fragments. Hallelujah. So that nothing would be lost. All of that came back to him and the disciples and Jesus. God's leftovers are always better than whatever it is you're giving up. Whatever it is you're surrendering, whatever it is you're releasing or turning over to him to use, the return on that is always going to be greater. Hallelujah. That is what God does. That is why he is so awesome in our lives. In verse 13, it says, so they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had already eaten. They were eaten and they were filled. They were so full. And you know how people are, right? You see food, you're there in the desert in the hot sun all day long. You're hungry. You're going to keep eating until you're going, until you're full. And that was okay. Jesus said, we have plenty. There is never a shortage when you're relying on God as a source. There is never a shortage when you're relying on God as a source. You know, I learned this lesson when, on my way home, I would stop by Stewart's or someplace where I would pick up some snacks or maybe a little of something to drink. And, you know, I used to buy a bottle or something small, just enough for me. But then I realized the value of buying bulk, right? And so I would buy the half gallon, the bigger size. And I realized I was getting a better deal by doing that rather than buying the bottle. And so I would bring it home and I wouldn't be able to drink the whole thing all at once. And my mindset was more so that I want this to last and I can have it for a few days. And I would put it in the refrigerator. Now at my house, the refrigerator is like the free zone. So once it goes in, there's a good chance you may never see it again because it's going to disappear. And even what you put in will not be the same when you go to take it out. It will somehow have diminished significantly. And just maybe there might be enough in there for you to squeeze out a few drops for yourself. And so this used to frustrate me, and this used to bother me, this whole thing of putting in, and then you go to get it just when you think, oh, I could really use this snack, this food, this drink. And all of a sudden, you go to get it, and it's gone. It's not there. And it used to frustrate me. It used to annoy me. It used to drive me crazy. And one day, the Holy Spirit said to me, is there a shortage? In my frustration, I'm thinking, oh, these guys are just, they're just so ridiculous. They keep eating everything I put in a refrigerator. I'm saving it for myself. I put my name on it. I had like identifying tags, signs, do not eat, don't leave this alone. You know, it doesn't matter. It just disappears. It goes away. And, you know, and it's like, And the Holy Spirit said to me, is there a shortage? Is there a shortage? And I paused and I said, I guess not. I guess there's no shortage. And then the Holy Spirit showed me how many times I was gonna pass the same stores I bought all that stuff from. And then God said to me, is there a shortage in those locations? Is there a shortage in the store? And I'm thinking, well, I guess there really isn't a shortage. And then the thought came to me, the only place I can think of there might be a shortage was my wallet. There might be a shortage there. And then immediately the Holy Spirit convicted me and said, I am your source. Not the store, not your wallet, not the refrigerator, none of those things. I am your source. And he said, is there a shortage? And the answer is, no, Lord. No, there's no shortage. And from that day on, I was free. I was free. It didn't matter. I could bring anything home. I could put it in the refrigerator. I could put it outside. Sometimes we use our back deck as a refrigerator. And you know, whatever we got to do, we can leave it outside. Well, we used to leave it outside directly. Then we realized that there were other issues by doing that. We had other critters that would come along and learn how to open things and then drink them and eat them. It's a whole nother story. But I realized God was my source and I could leave my stuff freely and God would always provide what I would need. And that is a lesson for my entire life. I've seen the hand of God make provision for me in times when you think you're not going to make it, in times when you think you don't have enough, in times when you think that there's just, it's just impossible. God will show up with five pieces of bread and two fish, and he will make a way. And you might hold on to that five loaves and that two fish. This is all I got. My mama gave me this. She told me don't share it with anybody. She told me don't even let anybody touch it unless they wash their hands three times and hand sanitized. I can't allow you to even come near me. Stand back 6 feet, everybody. Back, everyone. No. And God is able, isn't he? God is able. And God is our source. He is our provision. And it's not to say we shouldn't have precautions or take precautions or that we shouldn't be good stewards over what we have, but it's saying that we ought to be free to allow God to use what we have as he sees fit. Allow God to have whatever it is that you have. What is yours is God's, and what is God's is yours. That's the awesome part of it. You and God are being in fair exchange. You're at one with each other. And you are always going to be blessed when the fragments come back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, cast your bread upon the waters, and in many days it will return. God will make provision for his people. All we need to do is release it, confess it, let it go, and allow God to move forward in your life. Verse 14, it says, therefore, when the people saw the sign which he had performed, they said, this is truly the prophet who is come into the world. 15, it says, so Jesus, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? Here the people realized that a miracle just happened. A miracle just took place. They're like, we've got to make this guy the king. He has got to be the king of our lives. And they came by force, and they just wanted to grab him up. Do you love Jesus so much because of what he has done for you, what your personal experiences have been in Christ, so much that you just want to snatch him up and make him king of your life, king over you? I tell you, your faith ought not just be in just words that have been written on a page, but your faith needs to be in the experiences that God gives you as you apply the principles of the word that is on the page. And the word of God comes alive. It is God who enables us. And so, voila! Ephesians 1:19, it says, and what is the surprising greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. Oh, saints of God, this is where the power is. The greatness of God's power toward us. God is imparting his power toward us, so that we can experience the kingdom of God, so that we can have confidence in him, so that we can love him all the more, so that we can be liberated and free from all of the bondages and oppressions that are in the world, as the strength of God and his might are at work in us. It says, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, seated in heavenly places. It says that Christ, when he raised him from the dead, when God raised Christ from the dead, and he was seated with God on the right hand. That is the right hand that represents the power of God. That represents the authority of God. That means he's a joint heir with God. He is one with God. They're sharing in dominion and authority. And so Jesus now, through his obedience, is now raised up to have a seat, because Jesus first learned how to stand. And when you and I learn how to stand for the sake of the kingdom of God, we are then able to have a seat. Hallelujah. You can sit down and you can help others to come to a place of understanding. Remember, we've talked about in the beginning of this series, coming to sit down in the midst of the congregation is in order to receive from those who are leading the discussion, those who are the mentors, those who are speaking out into your life, those whom God has raised up to lead and to enable. It is an honor to be able to sit at the feet of the rabbi. It was an honor to be able to sit at the feet of the rabbi. It was not for everyone. The rabbi chose very carefully his disciples. That is why Jesus followed that very same model. He was very careful to choose the 12 disciples that he chose. He chose them on purpose. And you and I are a part of this church on purpose. We are a part of the fellowship and the body of Christ on purpose. We have been chosen of God to be able to come and receive of the Spirit of God. It is an honor to be able to have someone speak into your life, to minister to your particular needs. This is why it's such a sad day when people choose to be a part of something that they are genuinely not able to sit at the feet of. Because sitting at the feet is more than just listening and watching on a screen. It is the impartation of the Spirit and of life itself from those who are leading into those who are receiving. There is an impartation, there is a movement of the presence of God that you just cannot experience in the midst of when you have a screen between. Hallelujah. You might be able to hear, you might even be able to sense the anointing in the presence, but I can assure you that it is a different experience altogether than when you are in the midst of. And when you're in the midst of, that is when life is able to be exchanged. We are able to receive with the screen, and that ought to draw you into the presence. I tell you, everything God does draws you into his presence. And it brings the people of God together. Again, I've seen this in my own life. When I first came to Christ, I had no interest in church or church people. And so I said to God, all right, God, when the Holy Spirit really revealed himself to me and I realized, okay, how real this thing really is, the Holy Spirit began to convict me. And I began to say, God, I'll serve you. I'll do whatever you want, but I don't want to go to church. I don't want to have to go to church. And I avoided church like the plague. And so I would read my Bible and I would pray and seek God. And the longer and the more I spent time with God and his word, the more I was hungry to find people to commune with God, to talk to about the Lord. I was feeling like I was being pulled into this place where I needed to be in the midst of some people. And that's what led me to my good old friends at their parties. I would go to their parties, bring my Bibles, and I would just take the opportunity, I would take the opportunity to talk about the Lord. Hallelujah. And I've realized that that was not all I needed. I needed to be in the midst of the people of God so that there could be an exchange. And that is why Jesus was sitting with the scribes and the Pharisees and the leaders in the temple. He was both listening and asking questions. It's an exchange. And if you're not in an environment where you can listen and then ask questions and have an exchange with the leaders, then that means you're missing out on a divine experience that enables you to be changed. Because without that, you will not be changed. You cannot be changed. It's like trying to make a cake without flour or without eggs or without some other significant ingredient. You and I, we need to have this exchange. And that is why it is demonic when you see the world culture being forced through a funnel to a place of dispersion, where everyone is now forced to be isolated. Alone. And we all know that that is not good. It is the one thing that God said in the garden when he looked at Adam and he said, it is not good for man to be alone. And so you and I have to remember these principles so that we can understand the power of coming together. There is a power in coming together. And yes, I believe in technology. I believe in being able to be connected through internet and all of these things. Certainly I do. But I do not believe that it is enough to have just that in your life and not be able to come together in order to connect so that there's an exchange. It's the alternating current of the Spirit of God that both feeds and breathes life to us simultaneously. It's the exchange. It's the movement that enables the stirring, the workings, the empowerment, the accessing of God. And it's a sad thing how many people, they have traded coming to church for watching church. And it's sad because in your desperate time of need, the TV people are not coming to your aid. They're not coming to you. They're not coming to your house. They're not coming to help you in your times of difficulty and trouble. The ministry is one way. It is one way. And maybe you could submit a prayer request or call in a prayer request, but then that is where it ends. And life is so much more greater than that. We need such more in our exchange of God than that. And you are selling yourself short because the power is in the sowing and the reaping, the interaction, the flowing of the workings of the Spirit of God. And so Paul goes on here and he says, far above all rule, verse 21, and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come, the name of Jesus. It is a powerful name. It is a name of authority and power. And when you sit down, when you're being ministered to in the name of Jesus, in the Spirit of Jesus, you are then empowered by God. You are able to overcome in the age that you are in. God enables you to endure all the way until he returns. That is why the scripture says, he who endures to the end shall be delivered. In Colossians 3:1-4, it says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is what? Seated at the right hand of God. Christ is in the place of authority. Christ is in the place of empowerment. He is sitting there because everything is completed. It is finished. You are now in a place where you can receive. When Jesus is sitting, you are able to sit at his feet and be able to receive of God. It says, set your mind on the things above. In other words, let's focus our attention on Jesus, who's sitting in the mountain, and he is now discussing with a little boy about 5 loaves and 2 fish so that he can, what? Feed the multitudes. And the multitudes represent those who have experienced God, those who are hungry for God. Why? Because they came. They came. They didn't just think about it. They didn't just wish they were there. They didn't just believe that that Jesus could and would and all these things. But they actually came. They persevered. They pressed their way. They sacrificed their time, their energy, their efforts. They saw it as a priority. Whatever else they could have been doing, they said, we will not do it. We will go to where Jesus is. And so they came, and when they came, they received of a miracle. Hallelujah. I don't know, but I have this feeling that loaves and fish that have been blessed by Jesus probably have better nutrients in them than loaves and fish that have not been blessed by Jesus. Wouldn't you think that? I would think that once Jesus blessed it, there was something to that, because not only was there enough for one person, there was enough for 5,000 people. And you were eating of the fragments of the blessing, the overflow of the blessing. There is life in that. There is power in that. And I would submit to you that when you set your mind on the things that are above and not on the things that are of the earth, then you can receive of the fragments of the blessing of God and operate in the power of that blessing, in the strength of that blessing, in the ability of that blessing to enable you. And this is what God is trying to do in our lives. It says, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And that is why the word of God says, where he is, there you may be also. Hallelujah. There is a working and a divine connection between God and you and me, because God is a spirit and there is no distance in the spirit. So where God is, you and I are. As Christ is in you and the Spirit of God is in you, you are in the place where God is. You're in that place where the Spirit of the Lord is. And this is powerful and important. In Ephesians 6, Paul says, verse 11, we're all familiar with this. He says, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Now think about that. We're putting on the full armor of God so that we would be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. There are schemes, there are plans that are designed for each one of us. Satan is looking to bring down or to hinder each and every one of us. In what way? And I know this is a popular passage, but I don't know that it's all that well understood. And so verse 12 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers. Now this word throws a lot of people. In the original language, it says, it's the word arxi. And that word is simply means the beginning. So when you think rulers, a lot of times we think people in authority, and we're thinking about people who are in a place of political positioning. But that's not this word. This word is understanding the initial starting point or the place of beginnings. In other words, it's the idea of what comes first. What is the right order or priority of things in life? So our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against knowing how to have the right priorities. It's against being able to know what you should be doing first. What should you be doing instead of that? I should be doing this. Instead of this, I should be doing that. It's the concept of that we're struggling to get our priorities straight, to do the things that God has called us to do. And then it goes on, seems like I'm stuck. It says, against the powers. Now this word is authority. It is the word that we understand that means that there is a power. And this is not demonic power, but this is your power. In other words, we're struggling to recognize how much power and authority we really have. Being able to come to terms with the fact that God has empowered us, that God has enabled us, that God has strengthened us. We're trying to get a grasp or get a handle on those things. And then it says our struggle is dealing with these world forces of this darkness. Now we're talking about Satan himself. Satan is the prince and the power of the air. He is the force that is at work, and he is orchestrating this state or mindset of confusion that causes us to struggle. We have a hard time prioritizing and understanding it is our responsibility to rise up in the power of the Spirit of God. We are being hindered. We are being blocked by Satan from understanding and operating in this place. Then he goes on, he says, against spiritual forces of wickedness. So the spiritual force of wickedness is the entity known as sin. It is the sin or the things that we're doing, the mistakes that we are making that is causing us to do so. And all of that happens because of those forces in the heavenly places. It's the picture of the demonic spirits that are designed to keep you from standing. Every time you make a decision to follow God, to obey the word, to do what God's will is, some satanic entity rises up and pushes you back down to keep you from standing, to keep you from arising up in the authority, from following through on your faithfulness, on your commitment. It's the difference between succeeding and failing in your Christian walk and life. He says, therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. The evil day is when the forces of all of these things rise up in one way or another against you to bring confusion into your mind, to rob you of your understanding of your power and authority before God and your ability to resist the devil so that he might flee from you. This is what is at work. This is what we are wrestling against. This is the strategy that we are all learning how to overcome. And that is why he says, therefore, take up the full armor of God. And we know the helmet of salvation, that's for your mind. Get your mind renewed. And we know the belt of truth, operate in honesty, come clean before God, confess your sins, have the shield of faith. That's take all of your experiences that God has brought into your life and use them to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one as your feet are established in the gospel, the truth of God. You and I must learn how to operate in the power of the Spirit. And this is why when Jesus said in Matthew 14, 19 to the people to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish and he looks towards heaven. And then he blesses the food and he breaks the loaves and then he gives it to the disciples. He didn't give it directly to himself, but he established the principle that we need to receive from people who are receiving from God. And when we interact with each other, when we have an exchange with each other, we're able to experience the miracle flow of God's divine blessing. The blessing went from the little boy to Jesus, and from Jesus to the disciples, and from disciples to the people, and then from the people back to the disciples, and back to Jesus, and back ultimately to the little boy. And I would submit that the little boy went home with more than what he came with because of the blessing of Jesus. And so I pray to you, pray to the Lord for you, and that you would understand the importance of being able to stand, to look, to stand, to be able to operate in the fullness of God, in the power of God, under the anointing of God, so that the glory of God would be able to prevail in the midst of your life, so that you would know him as you've never known him before. Allow the process of discipleship to arise in your life. Redirect your passion so that your focus is on overcoming the obstacles that Satan places in our life that will hinder us from being able to put our priorities in right order and to be able to understand how God has enabled us and empowered us with his spiritual authority and ability so that we would be able to overcome Satan and the forces that are working with him to bring in confusion and every evil work in the midst of this world and even our lives. We have the ability to stand. If we learn how to sit, we will be enabled to stand. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, and our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Father. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? What can stand against? Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. You are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God.
I pray that you understand that it is worth your effort to persevere in God, to look with all your mind, all of your heart, all of your soul into the Word of God, to learn His ways, to apply His principles in your life so that you don't miss out on the blessings of God, on the provision of God, on the overflow that God is bringing into your life. There is a tidal wave of divine provision that is at work and in the midst of the people of God. And when you are coming to Jesus, when you come to the mountain, you are able to sit down. Moses had a similar experience, and the people came and they waited for Moses, who was on the mountain, and he was able to speak life into them. And likewise, Jesus also, the same experience. And we know that God is able to speak to you today. God is able to speak to us today, and He is looking to be able to take whatever you have that you bring to Him and cause it to be a blessing for the multitude. And what you receive back will be greater than what you could have ever asked for or imagined. It will be an increase of the things of God, of the Spirit of God, of the workings of God in ways that you could not even understand. God is faithful. Trust Him today. Know Him in the pardon of your sin. Confess, release, and allow God to breathe life into you so that you might be able to stand. Oh, saints of God, in order to come, you must stand. You must be able to make a stand and say, I'm determined to press my way. And then when you come, you must be willing to sit down. And you can't get caught up in how much time is taking place, but you receive of God for as long as it takes. And as you receive, God will empower you to stand, and you will be a greater witness than you have ever been in your life. You will become a greater testimony of anyone that you have ever known or experienced in your life. Your life will be a reflection in such a way that you wouldn't even have been able to imagine it if you had a plan ahead of time. God is able, and He is willing. Let the process of God be manifested in your life, in Jesus' name. Well, Lord, we thank you, oh God, for your word. And we ask, God, that you would enable us to be a people who are willing to come so that we can then sit down. And that we would be able to be empowered as we sit, that we would be able to stand against the schemes of the enemy, the strategies that are working in people's minds, hindering us from staying faithful, from being true, hindering us from being committed and from being consistent, from persevering. Satan will do everything he can, oh God, to keep us in a state of confusion, to rob us of our blessing. He would have us to rise up from the crowd of 5,000 before the fish was even able to be distributed, because we felt we weren't going to be fed, or we weren't going to be able to be taken care of, because we couldn't see the little boy giving up his meal. And God, I pray that we would be able to persevere so that we would not quit before our time, that we would not give up before the blessing of God comes into our life, and that the very thing that we are in place to receive would not be forsaken because we lacked vision and perception into the plan of God for our own lives, but that we would be able to overcome this mindset of confusion and a lack of divine priority for the sake of our own that Satan has imparted into our life with his workings and distractions of evil. And I pray, God, that you would strengthen us and enable us. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Well, glory to God. I pray that you now are able to apply the principles of God to overcome the strategies of the enemy. Because your struggles are not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. Hallelujah. Amen. Go and conquer in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? Healer, awesome.